Hey, Sound Opinions listeners, if you support us on Patreon, you get to listen to our podcast ad-free on Patreon.
Who took the bomb?
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we're sharing some of our favorite songs to sing at karaoke. Well, not necessarily me, but you. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. We'll also bid farewell to the late rockabilly musician Dexter Romweber, but first we review the new record from Granddaddy.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
That is a little bit of Blue Wave, the title track from the new Granddaddy record. Jason Lytle, a guest on the show, show number 37 back in 2006, Jim.
Wow. that ancient history.
He was just coming off breaking up his band Granddaddy, which had formed in Modesto, California in the early 90s. Their first album came out in 1997, Under the Western Freeway. Didn't make any ripples in the U.S., but got a huge welcome in the UK, where they had a hit song on it, and they played some major festivals. The follow-up broke through worldwide, The Software Slump in 2000, a major record for the band, and it got some great reviews. Really kind of in that ballpark with bands like Radiohead, The Flaming Lips, Mercury Rev. They were all operating in similar territory. You know, the effect that computer technology was going to have or not have on our daily lives and the impact it would have. The band has sort of broken up and come back together. They've had some tragedy. Their bass player, Kevin Garcia, died, which put a big gap between their comeback record in 2017, Last Place, and the new one. But it's finally here. It's called Blue Wave, as we'd mentioned, and we're going to play a track from it. But before we do, it should be mentioned that the inspiration for this record was Jason Lytle driving through the mountains listening to a Patti Page song.
Tennessee Waltz.
Yeah, and being inspired to make what he calls sort of a new wave bluegrass record, hence the title Blue Wave. Here's a track from that record. It is called You're Going to Be Fine and I'm Going to Hell.
Was in a plane nor a train. It barely was even a bus. But I made it here all the same. And darling, for us, over some beer somewhere.
That is a little bit, and I love this title, You're Going to Be Fine and I'm Going to Be Hell, from the new album by Granddaddy, Blue Wave, that's B-L-U, WAV. Greg, much like Smashing Pumpkins, it's always been hard to tell how much of Grandaddy is a band and how much of it is Jason Lytle, the singer-songwriter at the center of things. Even on those first two albums you were talking about, he's credited with playing all instruments. Mm-hmm. And then other people play specific instruments. Who did what? It was always Jason. Although they seemed like a band, you know, even before we had him on the public radio iteration of Sound Opinions, you will recall they visited us on the commercial station where we were live from 10 to midnight on Monday nights, and they were all tripping on shrooms. They had crammed into this tiny, tiny studio, performed live, given a rather cryptic and elliptical interview, and afterward, I guess their transcendence toward the white light was really peaking. They climbed the radio tower on top of the station in the middle of the night, 12:30 in the morning.
I thought we were going to be witnesses to some guy falling to his death under the influence of drugs. And it would have been... they thought it was hilarious, and we were just sitting there with our jaws hanging
open. We were a little bit fearful. You know, the innovation, the mix of psychedelic production and beautiful, beautiful melodies, and Jason having one of those great plaintive voices... You know, a better singer than Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips, if not quite Neil Young. I mean, but in that neighborhood, moved by the death of his closest friend in the band, the bassist, Kevin Garcia, hit by the tragedy of the pandemic like everybody else, he went to, you know, the home studio, and he made this beautiful combination record, psychedelia and country. Some have called it cosmic country. Best phrase I've seen in Pitchfork in a long time. Boot gaze? As in shoegaze, but cowboy boots. Jason's voice is beautiful, and he's really, you know, considering reasons for living in a sad and lonely time.
Well, I mean, that's the very positive outlook on this album. I was reading some interviews with Jason, and he called it a snooze fest, this record. And he was laughing about it, but, you know, I got to agree with some of his take on this record. Half the songs, more than half the songs, are at waltz tempo, hence, you know, the country influence, right?
Tennessee waltz.
Yeah, and a corollary to this record might be something like Beck's Sea Change, you know, where you got this sort of upbeat kind of stuff from him earlier in his career, kind of a little weird, and suddenly you have this kind of very morose, dark, easy listening record almost, but not easy listening once you start paying attention to the lyrics. And here's where this record sort of won me over. Because initially I am thinking, yes, Snooze Fest, that's about right. It is one of those records where you have to sort of take it as a whole. And it works in the sense that it is a mood piece, and it is complimentary, and there's a lot more going underneath the surface than I initially realized. There's also a sense of humor here.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the downer songs like Water Cooler, where he's missing his ex, and you know, he's crying in a bathroom at work, right?
Yeah.
Or on a train or a bus. That's just a heartbreaking song. But then you go to some stuff like Jukebox App, and this guy is playing with his phone in the parking lot, adding songs to the jukebox at the bar inside where his ex has just gone, and he's playing our song, quote-unquote,
sending messages over and over again.
And you know, right. That's kind of, it's sad, but it's also kind of funny. And that song, Ducky, Boris, and Dart, dedicated to these three characters who happened to be insects and or animals that met an uncertain fate, you know?
Dart was too quick, and this I found out. On a dirt road in Lone Pine, this time headed south. I tucked him away to be safe in some sage. His little heartbeat getting slower as I drove away.
It's kind of like, well, he's got this little sense of humor
about
the whole thing.
But he has a novelist's eye, Greg. There is no sadder thing in the world than the bird that flies into the window.
Well, exactly. You know? And he's lamenting its death and, you know, et cetera. But it's also kind of sad and morose, but it's also, there's a little bit of dark humor there as well. Jason Lytle's one of a kind. I'm really coming around to the idea that nobody's writing songs quite like this guy, and this is another example of it.
Well, that's what we thought of the new album by Granddaddy. Leave us a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org, and share your review.
More than this, you know there's nothing. More than this, tell me one thing. More than this.
This week on Sound Opinions, we're taking the show out of the studio and into the karaoke bar by sharing some of our favorite songs to sing karaoke to. Whether your choice is a track from your teen years, a classic that gets the crowd going, or even a relatively new song, karaoke gives us the opportunity to perform and even laugh at ourselves a bit, or more than just a bit, a lot, hopefully.
Well, I was shocked by your enthusiasm for this subject, Greg.
Well, it has a universal appeal.
I suppose it does. Associate producer Sol Delgadillo pitched us this idea, and, was one of those instant, oh, everybody's going to love that show. Who doesn't have a song they want to talk to? Now, I want to make it clear, at the risk of being a curmudgeon here, I look at karaoke the way I look at the polar plunge. Mm. You know, on New Year's morning, when people in Chicago jump into Lake Michigan, it's -5 degrees. It seems to me that that is a very painful thing to do. Mm. It is painful to watch. I can't imagine myself doing it. And I question the mental health, frankly, of people who do want to do it. This is how I feel about karaoke. I love music too much to get behind, somebody singing badly over a track with the vocals removed. You know, I'm not against singing badly with great enthusiasm, but I think it should be not, you know, with the lyrics in front of you and a canned track.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just a way to blow off steam. I have to say that every Thanksgiving, my cousin hosts Thanksgiving, so we spend all day eating and drinking, and then they've set up like a karaoke bar down in their basement. They actually have a band set up because there's a lot of musical talent in that family, you know, and they've got an actual setup with a karaoke machine.
Yeah, you can buy the home karaoke. Yeah,
and you know, frankly, we sing. My cousin Frank and I, we do our best to sing Black Sabbath tunes. You know, we kind of like break the mood. Okay, let's do War Pigs. You know, and everybody looks at us like,
are you crazy?
You
know, I've known you how long? We've been doing this since the early 90s. Yeah. I would pay cash money to see that.
I would too, because it's just so hilarious. There's video there somewhere. If I were in a karaoke bar, the song I would do would be Johnny and June Carter Cash's Jackson, which was a 1967 country hit, and it's just a natural. Maybe I do the June parts and somebody else would do the Johnny, but I love that song, and it's so easy to sing because it's the parts almost write themselves. The setup of the song, the premise of the song is Johnny's, he's breaking up with his romantic partner, and he's saying, hey, I'm going to go to Jackson and fool around. And she's mocking him throughout the song. I'm going to stand back with all my friends and watch you make a fool of yourself, basically. So she's cutting him up while he's, you know, blowing smoke.
Well, making a fool of oneself is key to karaoke.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think it's a classic song, but it's also just a great potential karaoke song.
We'll go on down to Jackson. Go ahead and wreck your hell. Go play your hand, you big talking man. Make a big fool of yourself. Yeah, go to Jackson. Go comb your hair.
And I'm gonna snowball Jackson.
Johnny and June Carter Cash Jackson, it's a tough call, Greg, whether I'd rather see you karaokeing War Pigs or in the role of June Carter. I'm mind blown right now. All right, but this whole idea was Sol Delgadillo's. We got to turn to Sol. Sol, you're at the bar. What are you going to sing?
I chose the song It Makes Me Ill by NSYNC. I've definitely performed this song live under the influence in a karaoke bar, in a karaoke room. Like, it's a good song. It's a good party song. It was also sampled in an Ariana Grande song a couple years back, which I thought was really cool and a pretty full circle moment for me. And mind you, I'm 26 and people don't really think that I listen to NSYNC or like am old enough to have an opinion on NSYNC because I wasn't really old enough during their prime. But my aunt at the time was, and she was maybe 19 or something, and she would drive me to, you know, preschool, kindergarten, and we would listen to NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Madonna, like 50 Cent. Like, it was such a cool time, and like she's like the person that introduced me to music, and I still listen to NSYNC all the time, and it makes me ill. It's just that song that gets me going, and it's very fun to perform in a room full of your friends. And in terms of like karaoke, I definitely prefer like a room rather than performing in front of like random people. It's just more fun that way. It might be a little pricey for some people, but it's definitely well worth it, and it's definitely a good time if you wanna do that for like your next birthday or celebration or something. So highly recommend, and I'm so glad that we got to do this as like a list show segment thing. It was my suggestion, and it makes me real happy when, you know, my ideas come to fruition like this. And I'm really glad that our listeners got to participate as well. And I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, everybody's picks at when all of this is edited and put together. So yeah, thank you.
I want you to say I'm tripping if you feel like, but you without me ain't right. You can say I'm crazy if I want to, that's true. I'm crazy about you. You can say I'm breaking down inside.
NSYNC makes me ill. Sol Delgadillo's pick was her idea. Blame her. When we return, more of our favorite karaoke tracks in a minute on Sound Opinions.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
And we're back. This week we're getting a little silly on the show, revealing what our go-to karaoke tunes are. I loved Sol's pick. By the way, just for kicks, my boy band pick for a karaoke bar would be Backstreet Boys. I Want It That Way.
You are a defender
It would kill.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, what's your first pick?
I'm taking no part in this. So I ceded this pick to the biggest karaoke fan in my life, my daughter, Melody. Okay? She tells me that, man, you got to put the exclamation point. Man, I Feel Like a Woman by Shania Twain is her go-to dad, guaranteed to get the whole bar on its feet track.
I'd love to hear you sing that.
I ain't singing it. She does, right? She loves the karaoke. Man, the girls need a break. Tonight we're going to take the chance to go out on the town. I said, oh, man. How far over the top can I take country music, right? And that's where Shania operated, okay? You know, but a lot of people know it. There's a big Britney Spears resurgence happening now among a lot of my 18 to 20-year-old students. I don't understand any of this, Greg. Britney sang it in Crossroads, her movie. I don't like the song, but if you're going to have fun with it at a karaoke bar, you know, I mean, do what brings you pleasure. Just don't make me sit there through it. Man, I feel like a woman. Man, I Feel Like a Woman by Shania Twain. You know how, I mean, I feel like I'm being enlightened here with the whole karaoke thing. I'm typing it in because I want to look in the lyrics on the Google machine, right? And the first 30 references are to karaoke tracks, right? You know, how you can download the song without the vocals so you can do this at home, right? It's like, oh, I guess Melody's on to something.
Everybody stood in front of their bedroom mirror when they're a kid and either played an air guitar or had the curling iron or whatever it is as a microphone and pretended to be up on stage singing their favorite song. Right?
But in your bedroom or in the shower is where it should remain.
You're such a curmudgeon. I can't believe it.
I just like music too much to go to
it's
the bar.
It's pop. It's fun. It's supposed to be like having ice cream or something.
All right. Alex was down with this idea too. Alex, what are you singing at the karaoke? You, Greg, and I officiated at your wedding. You did not have a karaoke station. Thank you.
I did not. But the song I wanted to play, which is funny because it's almost the opposite, you know, Shania Twain, Man, I Feel Like a Woman. The song that I'm going to pick is sung by Donny Osmond, and it's called I'll Make a Man Out of You. And it is from the 1998 Disney animated film Mulan, which is one of my favorite movies. And I like the song for a lot of reasons. The song itself is very participatory. It's got some repetition in it. It gets the people going. There's a guy who is training all of these soldiers in the Chinese army to fight against the Huns who are coming to take over China. And it's kind of these ne'er-do-well people or just people that are not particularly athletic learning the skills and working together in order to, you know, protect their country. And for me, for selfish reasons, as someone who has been an alto my entire life, there aren't a ton of main character alto songs, but there are a lot of tenor main character songs. So for me, I can come in here. I don't have to warm up that much. I can get up there. I can hit all the notes.
All right.
I feel very comfortable in my chest voice. And I recently saw a video of Donny Osmond singing this song today, and he sounds great still. I think it gets the people going. It's very enjoyable. And it's one of my favorite songs to sing to this day. So,
all right, Alex.
That's I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan. Yeah.
All right. You're sitting for the rage of war. So pack up, go home, you're through. How could I make a man out of you? We must be swift at the coursing river with all the force of a great typhoon, with all the strength of Alex's pick, Donny Osmond, I'll Make a Man Out of You. Greg, I think you're cheating with this next pick.
No, it's not. I can't sing and neither can Eddie Argos. It's a perfect pick.
Yeah, but going to Art Brut is like me saying I would sing Mr. Suit by Wire with Melody back when she was five. We just took the dirty words out. That ain't on no karaoke anywhere in the universe.
I think this song should be on any karaoke because it easily translates to a karaoke bar sing-along, and the lyrics are hilarious. Everybody can get involved in this. Everybody wanted, you know, dreams about forming a band and being the lead singer in a band, even if they can't sing, just like Eddie and Art Brute. I love the lyrics of this song, and I think it would just be hilarious to have everybody singing off the teleprompter. And yes, this is my singing voice. It's not irony. It's not rock and roll. We're just talking to the kids.
To the kids.
You know, I want to do that. I want to deliver those lines in a bar full of people. You know, I just think it'd be
seeing a whole new side of you.
Well, you know, when called upon, you have to deliver, Jim. You got to deliver the goods. You got to entertain the crowd, right? Whatever it takes. Art Brute formed a band. How many times did you go see Art Brute in 2005 when they played South by Southwest?
Well,
for the first
we had
time.
Them perform in front of us in Dan Dietrich's studio.
Great
Max,
band to this day.
Back at Wall to Wall when Dan was over there.
All right, we got Max Hatlam, one of our producers, up with his pick. Max, what do you got for us?
So I picked this song called Believe It or Not, which was sung by a guy named Joey Scarberry. It's the theme for an 80s show called The Greatest American Hero. Do you guys have any relationship with this show? I have like no context for it at all.
I have a vague recollection of the title. I don't think I ever watched it.
Yeah, only ran from 81 to 83, I think. My first experience with the song, my friend did like a techno remix of it for his voicemail. And then years later, I found out that that was actually a riff on George Costanza in a Seinfeld episode does like a different version of it for his voicemail. So instead of the original lyrics are, believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. And George and my friend for their voicemails changed it to, believe it or not, I'm not at my phone. So leave a message at the beep. And eventually I think I looked up the original version and found out it was from this show. But I think it's a great karaoke song. It fits all of my criteria for karaoke. Like, for one, it is extremely corny. I just can't take the lyrics seriously. I couldn't take anyone, including myself, seriously singing it. It just draws too much attention to yourself, I think. but that works for me. Like, I like to be self-deprecating. So, yeah, if I had enough liquid courage, I think I could get up and do this one. At the same time, I don't think it's a bad song. Like, it's well-written. It's well-performed by Joey Scarberry. It's too bad for him. I don't think he really had much of a career beyond this. But there's, like, some great harmonized guitar riffs in the end that almost sound like the style, you know, that Thin Lizzy used to do, which I'm kind of a sucker for. Another thing, I can't really sing it. Like, I can kind of sing it, and then it hits this key change towards the end, and I cannot do it. But I think that's, like we've kind of been saying, I think that's good for karaoke. I think the best karaoke performances are where you just, I don't know. It's like the greatest underdog stories, right? Like
Bill Murray in Lost in Translation. Right. Those are the ones.
Suddenly I'm up on top.
All right, Max's pick, Joey Scarberry, Believe It or Not. Time, Greg, to turn to someone who has apparently seen you do this karaoke thing. Katie Cott, our social media consultant.
Yes, guilty as charged.
This is Katie Kott, and my go-to karaoke song is Wedding Bell Blues by The Fifth Dimension. So a lot of people assume that I get my music taste and inspiration from my father, which, yes, in part is true. However, this song pick in particular is an ode to my mother, who cranked Fifth Dimension in her kitchen as we were growing up all the time. And Wedding Bell Blues was, that was her song. And very much soon grew to be mine as well. What I find to be kind of ironic about my song choice is the fact that as a 32-year-old millennial in no rush to be married and often finds herself rejecting and challenging the whole premise of marriage, which I know that I'm not alone in within my own generation, especially in the generation below me as well, is the whole concept of pleading for a man to ask for my hand in marriage seems so far-fetched and so against every bone and fiber in my body. And that tells me just how sentimental the song is. And what I love about Marilyn McCoo and The Fifth Dimension is the fact that they were often criticized for sounding, you know, quote unquote, too white. And growing up as a biracial kid in Chicago, that was something I was often hit with as well. So I very much relate to them. And despite not relating to the plead for a man to marry me, you know, I still love it. So this is Wedding Bell Blues by The Fifth Dimension.
Ah, Katie's pick, The Fifth Dimension, Wedding Bell Blues. Next time I have a quiet moment with Katie, I'm getting her to give me the video of you karaokeing.
Well, you'd rather hear her because she can actually sing.
Well, she can sing.
She can deliver.
Yeah.
I've heard her sing Wedding Bell Blues in the house many times. It's actually better than the original version, but I'm biased.
When we come back, the last of our karaoke choices and selections from you, the listeners, we'll also say goodbye to Dexter Romweber. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. This week, we're sharing our favorite songs to sing karaoke to. Now we're going to hear from producer Andrew Gill. Andrew, what do you got for us?
What's up, guys? You know, I can't claim that I've ever sung this in public. It's a situation kind of like Greg's, probably, that I've actually sung this song. But I do like to imagine, like Max was saying, like the public singing of this and having it not work. It's Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen.
Wow.
You know, the 2012, mm-hmm. the song of 2012, basically, right? The one of the most perfect pop songs ever released to the public. you know, I have sung this in the confines of my own home because my kid, we got a karaoke mic in the height of the pandemic, you know, like a little Bluetooth thing. And also lights, so we have like music activated lights.
Wow.
Yeah, my kid's bedroom.
Now you need a fog machine.
Yeah, so some of those nights when you're like stuck, you know, you're not supposed to leave your house, we'd all, you know, my three-person family, we'd be in there all taking turns on karaoke, and this was my pick. And I can tell you, it is not in my range. It is it is a stretch, and if I did sing it in public, it would be completely inappropriate, you know, as a married man out here trying to, you know, give out my phone number.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not a good look. But it's, I mean, there's not a more perfect pop song out there that we've like seen on this high a level in the past 20 years, probably. I mean, and I didn't realize this until I was getting ready for this show, that the reason we all heard it here in America, because it, you know, she's Canadian, right? And it was released in mm-hmm. Canada. And of course, you know, it's played on Canadian radio. But if Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez hadn't happened to hear it when they were in Canada and tell Scooter Braun that it was amazing, it might not have ever, you know, cracked the airwaves in America, because they gave it their cosign and like were publicly out there with it. And then he signed her and, you know, it became this huge hit, almost won some Grammys, but was beat out by Adele, I think.
Adele's blockbuster year. Yeah.
Anyways, it's a great song. I mean, you guys have to admit that would be a great song, right?
It's a great song. I just don't want to hear you sing it, Andrew. No offense.
Oh, I do. I would like to hear that.
Maybe I'm thinking of this wrong. Maybe if we had some sort of Patreon event, maybe we, you know, what do I know? Maybe we'd raise more money for this show than ever.
Yeah, we could have
people
staff
would pay good money to see us.
If you've pledged to Patreon, you can join us. Yeah. Yep. No recording, though.
See,
no
Greg
recording.
And Jim embarrass themselves. Yeah, Andrew, you could join in.
I threw a wish in the well.
Andrew's pick, Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe. Good fun this show has been. I knew it would be. All right, so I've come out as anti-karaoke. The hate mail is going to be pouring in. As you know, I am also anti-Broadway show tune, right? Although I'll confess, every once in a while, always when cooking dinner, I'll get into a little bit of Oliver, you know, hot sausage and biscuits.
Know that one.
All right. I am going to make the case for the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Greg, it turns 50, half a century old next year, okay? When I saw this as a freshman in Catholic high school, mind blown, it remains that powerful and necessary, I will argue, today. I've had two students, again, 18 to 20, like, reference Rocky Horror Picture Show mm-hmm. in the last week, and I'm glad that it remains that culturally relevant, because the central message from the Rose Tint My World suite at the end, don't dream it, be it. okay? In a time where LGBTQ plus rights are under assault, where pleasure is under assault, where the right to decide what we do with our own bodies is under assault,
yeah.
The central message of Rocky Horror Picture Show, I think we ought to do a whole show on it next year for the half century anniversary. Anyway, why am I talking about that as karaoke? Because, you know, the midnight shows, the classic midnight performances of Rocky Horror, where everybody takes one of the roles and is up there singing along with the movie, and you know, you throw toast and you throw rice and all that stuff. I mean, that's my kind of karaoke, okay? Yeah. And anyway, my favorite go-to is Riff Raff's parts. Richard O'Brien, the actor, I hesitate to use the word singer, but, you know, it was his baby. Wrote the music, the books, the lyrics, stars as Riff Raff. You know, I'm really fond of at the end where everything turns on Frankenfurter. You know, Frankenfurter, it's all over. Your mission is a failure. Your lifestyle's too extreme.
What do you mean you hate karaoke?
I can do
you
this.
Just gave us some, right?
Well, yeah,
there.
Right, because I wanted
it's a public karaoke performance.
Yeah, right.
No so backing music either.
No, I know. Who needs the backing music? Anyway, the part five or something of the Roast in My World, Sweet. You gotta love Rocky Horror Picture
Show.
Well,
my mind's blown. I mean, you obviously know the entire movie by heart.
I do. I do. The Godfather and Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You went deep on the soundtrack, too. I thought you'd pick some of the more obvious ones, but
no,
this was a little bit deeper than the hit singles off of the
Wait,
the
like
soundtrack.
I'm going to go with my hero Meatloaf? No. Too obvious.
That's awesome. Now let's hear from some of you, our listeners.
New messages.
Hey, Jim and Greg, it's Gosman from Southside Chicago. If we're talking karaoke songs, then one of my favorites to sing is actually a Spanish song that I love to sing every now and then, and it's called En Estos Días by Regulo Caro. The song is about a man who's in prison reflecting on life and the decisions that he's made, and spending so much time in there has really got him to just overall appreciate the time he had before he got there with his friends, his family, and all that stuff.
Me pesa la condena, me pesa esta cadena de eslabones de acero.
And there's one line specifically that always gets to me. It's en estas celdas frías, donde no sabes si es de noche o de día, donde los rayos de sol te pegan una vez al día. Which basically translates to not knowing when the sun is out and only getting to feel the sunshine once per day. Really puts into perspective how isolated you are when it comes to spending time behind bars. And the overall appreciation for friends and family is just heightened after that.
En estas celdas frías, donde no sabes si es de noche o de día, donde los rayos del sol te pegan una vez al día. En estos días.
Hey, Sound Opinion, this is Cassidy, and I would have to say my favorite karaoke song would probably be Single Ladies by Beyonce, just because it's a classic. You can't go wrong with it. I think I probably know the words by heart at this point, and I feel like most people like Beyonce, so, you know, you can't really go wrong with that. Everybody probably knows Single Ladies by now, and if you don't, you should definitely go listen to it.
Hi, I'm Dylan. I'm an exchange student from Dublin, Ireland, and
I don't do karaoke a lot, but I did karaoke back in December for my birthday, and I went to an Irish pub. I sang "Creep" by Radiohead for karaoke at my birthday party, and it was pretty funny. It was pretty fun. Everyone in the bar sang along because everyone knew it. But I'm a creep. It was kind of somber, but it was also kind of good humor. You know, it was already late at night. Everyone was already had a few drinks in them and stuff. So, yeah, I think that would probably be in future be my go-to song is Creep by Radiohead.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Liliana Pulido from Chicago, and I think my go-to karaoke song is Cucurucucu from Lola Beltran, because I just love mariachi, and like, I guess who doesn't? But I guess if I was to pick a silly pick, I would probably pick I Want It That Way from like the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC or something like that.
I want it that way, but we are two worlds.
It's because it's so nostalgic, and it's just like, I know people are gonna come at me for this, but I think it's a little cringy, but it's like typical. It's typical cringe, but it's like in a good way. It's kind of fun. And like, I just know like everybody would sing it. It's like a crowd pleaser, you know?
Hey, Greg and Jim. This is Jamil from the southwest suburbs of Chicago. You know, Jim, I had you in one of my classes my freshman year of college, and I got to say, you're a great teacher, man. But you know what? One of my favorite go-to songs for karaoke is When Doves Cry by Prince. And I say this because I used to sing this song at my karaoke parties all the time. When my grandpa was still working, we'd have a bunch of karaoke parties throughout the year. And that would be the song that I would sing, and a bunch of drunk old men, my grandpas and my uncles, would get up and start dancing to the song. And you know, it made me really happy. And there were some times where I couldn't finish singing the song because I was laughing too much. I wish he didn't leave this world so soon, but, you know, his memory will always live on through his music, so that's my take on that.
Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when the doves cry.
No more messages.
Thank you to everyone who sent in a message. That wraps up our show on favorite karaoke songs, and now we want to hear from you. Leave us a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org, with your choice and why, and you too could be featured on a future episode. That is a little bit of Frog Went A-Courtin', Frog Not Froggy, by Flat Duo Jets, released, Greg, as a single in 2008, with 1.5 million streams on the biggest streaming platform. Interesting that that song, of all others, is the one I would say most people know Dexter Romweber for. John Michael Dexter Romweber. Mainly associated with Chapel Hill, North Carolina, although later in his life he lived in Athens, Georgia. Some people
personify the rock and roll spirit. We did a bonus podcast tribute recently to Mojo Nixon. And, you know, Mojo was kind of a jokey character. Dexter was the real deal. From their debut as a kind of DIY cassette, you know, all the way till the end of his life, 11 albums as Flat Duo Jets, a bunch more as Dexter Rom Weber Duo, solo albums, there were five of them. Dexter lived and breathed rock and roll spirit. No less an authority than Jack White said, I heard this guy and that's what I wanted to do. Formed the White Stripes as a duo. After Flat Duo Jets came the Dex Rom Weber Duo, where Dexter played with his older sister, Sarah. Beloved forever as the drummer for Let's Active. She died a couple of years ago. We pay tribute on the show. Great musician. They personified that indie underground spirit of North Carolina and the South. You know, rockabilly, roots music. They were good in every incarnation. I personally like the rawest Flat Duo Jets. In 1998, just before the alternative movement completely petered out, they got signed to an imprint of Geffen Records. Scott Litt, REM's producer, and Chris Stamey produced their one and only major label album. All of a sudden, we had horns and strings. I don't think Dexter ever recorded anything bad, but I like it when they were rawest. So to pay tribute to this musician who died February 16th at the age of 57, far too young, I'm going to that opening cassette where I first heard Flat Duo Jets, reviewed them for a fanzine, 1985, the opening track on album number one, In Stereo. It barely was. It was like, you know, microphone under a pillow in a bucket of mud is how it sounded, and it was great.
Yeah.
Riot in Cell Block number 9.
On July the 2nd, 1953, well, I was serving time for armed robbery. 4 o'clock in the morning, I was waiting in my cell. I heard a call, I heard somebody yell.
Flat Duo Jets, Riot in Cell Block number 9. I never saw Dexter Rom Weber give a bad show, and I must have seen various incarnations there half a dozen times.
Yeah, he was fabulous. You knew there was going to be sweat, there was going to be beer, there was going to be people throwing themselves around in a frenzy.
Yeah.
Joyous in the best possible ways. Very much missed.
What do we have on the show next week, Greg?
Next week, Jim, very excited to air this interview with Black Thought, Tariq Trotter of The Roots. You know, with The Roots, people think of Questlove. He's been the primary spokesman for the band for many, many years. But Tariq is an incredibly thoughtful MC, and it translated as well in our conversation with him on the occasion of what I think is one of the best memoirs written in recent times.
Yeah.
And don't forget to check out our bonus podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our Columbia College intern is Max Hatlam, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott. And what a karaoke quintet that is. Let's get together. This you think not. Think the thought went home and forgot. Time passed. We back in Philly. Now she up in my spot. Telling me that.